Canto 11, Chapter 29, Bhakti Yoga, the most auspicious way to conquer death. Sri Uddhava said, "This process of yoga is, I think, most difficult to execute for someone not spiritual. Please, O Achyuta, tell me in simple terms how a person may easily succeed." "Generally, O Lotus-eyed one, beginning yoga practitioners get frustrated trying to unite the mind and grow weary of subduing their thoughts, being unable to find absorption. For that reason, O Lotus-eyed Lord of the universe, the swan-like devotees delight in taking to the shelter of your lotus feet that are the source of all ecstasy, while they who take pride in the results of their yoga do not take shelter and are defeated by your material energy. It comes as no surprise, Achyuta, that you, as a friend to all servants with no other shelter, are joined in intimacy with them, are commanded by them, you who as Rama were affectionate with the animal-like Vanaras, while the edges of your footstool were covered by the effulgent helmets of the great controllers. Knowing the benefit you offer, O Supreme Soul, bestower of all perfections and dearest Lord to those seeking shelter, who would reject you or ever be devoted to anything else and forget about you in exchange for some opulence? What would not be granted to those serving the dust of your feet? The scholars, despite all their work, would not even, with a lifetime as long as Brahma's, be capable of expressing the gratitude we owe you, O Lord. For you, in order to remind us of the greater spiritual joy of dispelling the sadness of being embodied, show us your path in two ways. In the form of that what from the Chaitya authority of the Supersoul is mentally conceived within, and that what from the outside is conceived on the authority of the Acharya. Sri Shuka said, thus questioned by Uddhava, who in his heart was most attached to him, the Lord of all Lords spoke lovingly with an attractive smile, he who with the universe as his plaything, by his energies assumed his three principal forms, the guna avataras. The Supreme Lord said, I shall explain to you my most auspicious dharma by means of which, with faith executed, a mortal being may defeat unconquerable death. He whose mind is attracted to my devotional service and has offered his heart and intelligence unto me should remember to perform, step by step, all his prescribed duties for my sake. One should take shelter of the holy places frequented by my saintly devotees and follow the example of the conduct of my devotees among the demigods, humans and demons. Either alone or in association, one should, with respect for the position of the moon, for instance, at special occasions and at festivals, engage in singing and dancing and so on, with royal opulence and generous contributions. With a pure heart, one should see me, the Supreme Soul, free as the sky, as being present within and without oneself and all living beings. O brightest spirit, when one, with my love, thus is of respect for all living beings, one with such an approach has taken shelter of the highest possible knowledge, the absolute unity of spirit. This way, regarding the Brahmin and the outcast, the thief and the man faithful to the Brahminical culture, the sun and the spark, the gentle one and the cruel one equally, one is considered a wise person. Of the person who constantly meditates on my presence in all men, quickly the rivalry, envy, disdain and false ego will disappear. Ignoring the laughter of one's friends and without being embarrassed about outer appearances, one should effectually throw oneself like a rod to the ground and offer one's obeisances to all, even to dogs, outcasts, cows and asses. With the functions of speech, thought and action, one thus has to be of worship for as long as one has not developed the vision of me being present in all living beings. For the one who by knowledge and realization sees the Supreme Soul everywhere, everything is based upon the absolute truth. Thus, free from doubt, he desists from activities so as to unite within. I consider this, with the functions of one's mind, words and actions seeing me within all living beings, the most appropriate of all processes. My dear, because this by me perfectly established method is free from the modes and has no ulterior motives, there is, when one thus tries to be of service unto me, Uddhava, not even the slightest loss. O best among the pious souls, when one is capable of performing one's duty free from ulterior motives for the sake of me, the One Supreme, the emotions of that endeavor, like fear and such, will be futile. This in one's life, by means of desisting from the deceptive and mortal achieving of me, the One Immortal, constitutes the cleverness of the clever and the intelligence of the intelligent. This survey, I thus both in brief and in detail explain to you, constitutes the complete science of the absolute truth that even for the demigods is difficult to access. With clear logical arguments, I repeatedly explain to you the spiritual knowledge. Properly understood, this will put an end to the doubts a person may have and liberate him. He who concentrates on this question of yours, as also on my clear reply, will attain the eternal secret of the Vedas, the supreme absolute truth. I shall give myself to that person who, without reservation, passes on to devotees this traditional instruction of mine, this knowledge of the absolute truth. He who repeats for others this supreme knowledge that is so sanctifying and clear, reveals my presence with the lamp of knowledge and will find purification day after day. The person who attentively and with faith regularly listens to this and is of transcendental devotional service unto me, is a bhakta, will not get entangled in karmic activities. Uddhava, O friend, do you have a clear understanding of the spiritual now, and has this lamentation and illusion that rose in your mind been removed? Do not share this with a hypocrite, an atheist or a cheat, nor with someone not willing to listen, a non-devotee or an obstinate person. Share it with a person free from these bad qualities, someone virtuous and pure, kindly disposed and dedicated to the welfare of the Brahmins, as also with laborers and women, if they are of devotion. For the inquisitive one fully understanding this, there is nothing further to know. Once one has drunk the nectar of this palatable beverage, nothing will remain. Everything that people of success with the four goals of life may find in knowledge, in fruitful labor, in mystical yoga, in ordinary activities, or in political ruling, you can equally find in me, my best one. When a mortal surrenders himself to me and forsakes all his self-interested labor in his desire of service, he at that time attains freedom from birth and death and qualifies for sharing in my nature. Sri Shuka said, after he had heard the words of Uttama Shloka and thus was shown the path of yoga, Uddhava, with folded hands, said nothing because his throat was choked up with love and his eyes were brimming with tears. Checking himself to steady his mind that was overwhelmed by love, O King, he felt most grateful. With folded hands, he touched the lotus feet of the hero of the Yadus with his head and addressed him. Sri Uddhava said, the great darkness of the delusion I embraced, O unborn primeval person, was dispelled by your presence. What cold, darkness, and fear would have power over someone who approached the sun? You who are so merciful in your goodness, offered to me, your servant, in return the torchlight consisting of your wisdom. Whoever, filled with gratitude, can abandon the basis of your feet and look for another shelter. The because of your maya firmly binding rope of my affection for the Dasharas, Vrishnis, Andhakas, and Satvatas, cast by you for the production of offspring, was severed by the sword of the correct knowledge about the soul. Let me offer my obeisances unto you, O greatest yogi. Please tell me how I, as a surrendered soul, can be steadfast in the attraction of your lotus feet. The Supreme Lord said, "Please, Uddhava, accept my advice to head for my hermitage called Badarika. At the river banks there, be purified by the touching of and bathing in the water emanating from my feet. Be with your eyes fixed upon the Alakananda, cleansed of all impurities. Dress yourself in bark, my dear, eat from the forest, and be happy, freed from desire. Exercise with your intelligence, spiritual knowledge and wisdom, forbearance with all dualities, keep saintly to your principles, restrict your senses and live in peace and absorption. Believe in and meditate on that what you from me have learned to discriminate. When you, with your words and mind absorbed in me, thus devote yourself to my Dharma, you will, with that discipline reaching beyond the three destinations, thereupon reach me." Sri Shuka said, "After thus having been addressed by the Lord of Understanding, Uddhava circumambulated him, keeping him to the right, and even though he at the time of his departure was free from the influence of material opposites, he, with a breaking heart, with his head bowed down, flooded his feet with his teardrops. Finding it most difficult to let go of his love, he, because of the departure, was overwhelmed by emotions and could not abandon him. Filled with pain, he again and again offered his obeisances and placed the slippers of his maintainer on his head. Then he departed. The great devotee then installed him permanently in his heart and went to the illustrious place of pilgrimage the one friend in the universe had mentioned. There, properly executing his austerities, he attained the Lord's destination, Vaikuntha. Anyone who with honest belief is full of attention for, listens to, speaks about and practices this ocean of ecstasy, this nectarian sea of spiritual knowledge of bhakti yoga, that by Krishna, he whose feet are served by the masters of yoga, was collected for his devotee, will liberate himself and therewith the entire world. I am bowed down to the greatest and first of all beings, the personality named Krishna, who makes his many devotees drink the nectar from the milk ocean that is the essence of the Vedas, the essence of the spiritual knowledge and wisdom that he, as the author of the Vedas, like a bee delivered in order to take away the fear of material existence."